Matthew. Matthew chapter 13, and I'll be reading verses 10 through 17, and out of reverence to God, please stand as his word is read. Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 10. Then the disciples came up and asked him, "Why are you speaking to them in parables?" He answered, "Because the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given for you to know, but it has not been given to them. For whoever has, more will be given to him, and he will have more than enough. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. That is why I speak to them in parables, because looking, they do not see, and hearing, they do not listen or understand. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them, which says, 'You will listen and listen, but never understand. You will look and look, but never perceive. For this people's hearts has grown callous. Their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn back, and I would heal them. Blessed are your eyes because you do see, and your ears because you do hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see the things you see, but didn't see them, to hear the things you hear, but didn't hear them." You may be seated. Now, as we're looking in the Gospel of Matthew, we're sort of bouncing from here to there because in the Gospel of Matthew, he gives some parables, and then he explains the meaning a little bit later toward the end of the chapter. So Wednesday's message, we were looking at verses 1 through 9 and verses 18 through 23. Verses 1 through 9, we talked about the different types of soil. Now, Jesus had just been teaching. He had had his brothers and sisters, and last Sunday, I forgot what verse that is. If you go to chapter 13, verse 55, it tells us about the brothers of Jesus. These were children that were naturally born to Joseph and Mary. If you look at verse 55, it says, "Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, aren't they all with us? So where did he get all these?" And they were offended by him. So James, the half-brother of Jesus, and his other half-brothers did not believe in him. They thought he was crazy, and that's why they were coming to get him. But Jesus said, when told that his brothers and mother are outside, "Who are these that are my mother and brother?" He says, "Anyone who does the will of my Father who is in heaven is my mother and brother and sister." So he's talking about there's more of a relationship than physical. There's a spiritual relationship with all believers. And that's one reason we call fellow believers brothers and sisters, because we're all part of God's family. And as we look at the parable of the sowers, there's seed that is spread out. And the seed is the word of God. Now, there's nothing wrong with the seed. It's good seed no matter where it falls. It just depends on where it falls, the effect of the seed. Now, in Palestine at the time, their farms were fields, open fields, and you had a path you walked down that you stepped on when you as you walk through the fields, and that was also the road people used to travel between one part of the country and another. They walk down these paths, and since there's a lot of walking on it, it makes it very packed down very hard. I've got a little section right on the left side of my driveway that I've been trying to get grass to grow there for 20 years, but people have packed it down so much, and every time I get a little bit of grass coming, somebody goes and parks a car there. And so Right now I've got some big stumps there, which will be gone in a little bit. Maybe to give it a little bit longer, but it's hard packed. The grass is not going to grow there. I've even had people give me little patches, sod patches. They didn't last long either. The ground is just too hard packed. That's how it is along this path. And the seed that fell on that hard packed path, Jesus says, and he gives the definition, the explanation in verse 18, is the seed that fell on the path is where people who did not understand the word of God. Now that's where we're going to go into more depth in today's message. That first part, that seed that fell on those that did not understand. But then he talked about there's some seed that fell on soil that didn't have much depth. It had rocks underneath it. And if you've ever seen, if you have a septic tank, that you have a stone over it, a piece of concrete, just a little bit of soil, grass will go real good there until it gets hot. And then you got a brown spot, the shape of your septic tank cover. That's what he's talking about there. There's a little bit of soil. It's good soil, but there's not much of it. They listened to the word, but they didn't have any depth of root. They understood Jesus is the Messiah, but they didn't understand what that meant. And Jesus says, since they have no depth of root, they're short-lived. Look in verse 21 of chapter 13. When distress or persecution comes because of the word, immediately he falls away. Ray Comfort has a little message, and you can get it back in the back, called Hell's Best Kept Secret. And he describes this like someone that is told when they get on an airplane to put on a parachute because it will make their flight more comfortable. Now, if you think about it, if you have a parachute on your back in the airplane, it's not going to make your flight more comfortable. You can't sit all the way back. People are laughing at you. You got a parachute on. It says, but if they understood and you told them instead, at any moment this plane might lose power and begin to crash. Put on the parachute because you might have to jump out. Now, the person is not going to get rid of that parachute. It's not put on to make his flight more comfortable. He put on the parachute because of the jump to come. And when people laugh at him for having a parachute on, and they don't, he just remembers, there's a jump to come. I've got my parachute. And that's what Jesus is talking about in his parable when he says, those that receive the message, but they fell away when persecution came because of the word, because of the truth. Then he says there's another type of soil. It has thorns in it. And the thorns come up and choke the seed. Said, in verse 22, this is the one who hears the word, but the worries of this age and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. A lot of us have a lot of things we worry about that don't really matter. I like what someone said one time. We spend a lot of time worrying about how we're going to get across the river on the other side of the mountain, and we don't even know if there's a river there. There might be a river. How am I going to cross? It doesn't matter. Climb the mountain right now. Take one step at a time. But then the one that so lands on good soil produces a harvest 160 and 30 times what was sown. At that time in Israel, a good harvest would be 8 times what was sown. This is a great abundant harvest. Then Jesus, in verse 10, now you go, wait a minute, you were in verse 23, and now you go to verse 10. Well, verse 23 was the explanation of verses 1 through 9. So now we're going to look at more depth at the soil that is hard-packed. And look at what happens. Verse 10, and thank you, David, you helped me with this earlier by asking me a question, where is that thing? Because the disciples, they ask questions. Now, sometimes we make fun of Peter. Peter asked a lot of questions. Sometimes we jokingly say, how can you recognize a painting of Peter? He's the one with the foot in his mouth. He asked a lot of questions. And it's like, oh, I know the answer to that. How do we know the answer? Because Peter asked the question and Jesus answered it. So now we know, but Peter didn't know till he asked the question. The disciples ask him, why are you speaking in parables? Why do you teach like this, Jesus? Jesus answered, because the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given for you to know, but it has not been given to them. And you might say, wait a minute. Is Jesus being unfair? This morning I saw on the news a picture of an Amazon truck with a mob running in and taking all the packages out of the back of it. They could be thinking, it's unfair that there's all those things in that truck and I don't have any. The people that paid for the packages coming in could say, it's unfair that I don't get my package. One of the people being interviewed, why are they doing this, said, because there are no consequences. It used to be somebody would sneak out at night and do their theft. Now it's in broad daylight and mobs of people are going into stores and taking everything and running around laughing because there's no consequence, because they think it's unfair that they don't have what's on that store shelf. That's when man makes his decisions about what's fair and what isn't. Turn with me for a moment to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah, sometimes I call the fifth gospel, because it talks just as much about Jesus as any of the other gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. It just doesn't mention the name of Jesus, but it prophesies about Jesus. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 13. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or who gave him his counsel? Who did he consult? Who gave him understanding and taught him the paths of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Who did God ask to find out what's right and wrong? Sometimes we act like God needs our advice. God doesn't need our advice. God doesn't need to be told what's fair and what isn't fair. Look with me at Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6, starting there. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call to him while he is near. Let the wicked one abandon his way and the sinful one his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord so that he may have compassion on him and to be our God, for he will freely forgive. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. This is the Lord's declaration. For as heaven is higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For just as rain and snow fall from heaven and do not return there without saturating the earth and making it germinate and sprout and provide seed to sow and food to eat, so my word that comes from my mouth will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please and will prosper in what I send it to do. We've had young children A lot of times they ask, why do I need to do that? Because they think they know what's better than their parents. Why should I eat that? Why should I not play in the road? We as parents have a responsibility to take care of our children. We can't always explain in a way that they will understand. For our ways are not always understood by the children. And we are God's children. All of us are children, infants. I like one place where it says, God calls each of the stars by name. Even our scientists can't do that. They have numbers for it. We find another one, and that's XYZ457. God knows every star by name. Sometimes we have trouble remembering other people. It's like, you know, I've had a week off from school. Now I've got to go back and remember my students' names. But God, His ways and thoughts are so far above ours. Is God unfair? No. Because we don't understand everything. We define what's fair by our, our understanding or what we think is right and wrong. So when man becomes the one to determine what's right and wrong, you could say with man's understanding, what's wrong with robbing an Amazon truck? What's wrong with not having consequences? There was a soccer player on the U.S. women's team. The last game she was playing, she twisted her ankle and strained her Achilles tendon. She said, this just proves God doesn't exist. If He can let that happen. We blame God when bad things happen. We don't try to understand what God is saying. Is God unfair? No, He's not unfair. He is giving everyone an opportunity to understand. But some of us are like that path, hard packed. And that's why in verse 15 of Matthew 13, Jesus quotes from Isaiah and He says, for this people's heart has grown callous. Their ears are hard of hearing and they have shut their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn back and I would heal them. Your heart. Now, in Scripture, when it talks about the heart, that's the seat of your firm commitment. But we also have a physical heart. It's a muscle. If it becomes calloused, it doesn't pump like it should. And we don't live right. We don't have the energy we need. Our body will not function properly if our heart becomes calloused. Spiritually, when our heart becomes calloused, we don't want to listen to any truth. We don't want to understand. We have made up our mind and we don't want to be bothered with the truth. You might have seen the little statue of the three monkeys. One's got his hands over his ears. One's got his hands over his eyes. Another hands over his mouth. And it's called see no evil, speak no evil, hear no evil. But too often, people become, I will hear no truth. I will see no truth. I will speak no truth. That's what Jesus is talking about, that hard, packed soil. I don't want to hear the truth. Isaiah says they became hard of hearing. Now, it's interesting when you get hard of hearing. You can do a couple of things. One, the first thing I do, I know they didn't say what I thought they heard. So I get a little laugh at it. I know he didn't say he's going to go stand on the steeple. Well, that would be funny, wouldn't it? Or you can ask, can you repeat yourself again? I didn't understand you. I didn't hear you. The people with the hard-packed soil, specifically he's talking to religious leaders, they were ones that had hard-packed soil. They didn't want to listen to what Jesus said. They didn't ask him what he meant by something. The disciples did. What'd you mean? Why are you speaking this way? Tell us what this means. And it says they refuse to see because they shut their eyes. I don't want to see that. Don't show me anything that might prove I'm wrong. But is there any hope? Yes. There once was a man who was persecuting all the Christians he could find. He even helped see them be killed. He was there when Stephen was stoned to death. Wasn't enough just stay in Jerusalem, abusing and persecuting the Christians. He wanted to go to other places. So he planned a trip where he heard there was a bunch of Christians in a city called Damascus. This hard-packed soil type of guy named Saul came face to face with the truth. And he met Jesus. Saul, we know as Paul, the apostle that went all over the world preaching the good news. Saul was hard-packed soil. He knew about Jesus, but he wanted to fight Jesus. But that hard-packed soil got turned into good soil. And Saul became Paul. No one is beyond the help of Jesus tilling the soil, taking that hard-packed soil and making it soft again, making it where we can hear. God is in the business of heart transplants. He takes and changes our heart of stone to a heart of flesh. Now, when the disciples asked, why do you speak in parables? And Jesus said, so you can understand what they can't. How do we understand? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. We do, however, speak a wisdom among the mature, but not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. On the contrary, we speak God's hidden wisdom in a mystery, a wisdom God predestined before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age knew this wisdom, because if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no human heart has conceived, God has prepared these things for those who love him. Now God has revealed these things to us by the Spirit. Since the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God, for who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who comes from God, so that we may understand what has been freely given to us by God. We also speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. But the person without the Spirit does not receive what comes from God's Spirit, because it is foolishness to him. He is not able to understand it, since it is evaluated spiritually. The spiritual person, however, can evaluate everything, and yet he himself cannot be evaluated by anyone. For we know the Lord's mind, that he may instruct him. For who has known the Lord's mind that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And back up to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Paul is talking about Israel being hardened in heart. But God has a way for that heart to be healed. Look at verse 9 of Romans chapter 10. You can read the whole thing to get the whole context, but verse 9 of Romans 10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, everyone who believes on him will not be put to shame. There's a hard soil. People don't understand the truth. But God has come teaching us, taking that hard soil where we can understand. The hard soil doesn't produce a crop until it's been tilled up. And the Holy Spirit works in the life of the unbeliever, taking that hard soil, convicting of sin, and softening the soil. And then once we acknowledge Jesus as Lord, the Holy Spirit works in our lives, explaining things to us. That's why we can understand the spiritual truths, because we have God's Spirit within us. Is God unfair? No. God desires that no one perish, but that all come to repentance. And he is patient with us, giving us a chance to repent. God is not unfair. God is so gracious. Even when people spit in his face, nail him to a cross, he says, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. The people that rejected Jesus, many later accepted him as their Lord and Savior. Even among the Pharisees, who were the hardest packed soil there was, the enemies of Jesus, wanting to kill him. But many of the priests and Pharisees became obedient to the faith after Jesus rose from the dead. Only through the blood of Jesus is there forgiveness. When people try to say, put on Jesus, he'll make your life more comfortable, that's not the truth of Scripture. Put on Jesus, he'll make your eternity more comfortable. That's the truth. We're going to have trouble here. But we have an opportunity to share with others that are hard-packed soil, that are stony ground hearers, that are thorny ground hearers. We have an opportunity to tell them more about Jesus to help their understanding. It's our job, because we can't do that in heaven. There is no one that needs to hear the truth of God about how to be saved in heaven, because there's no unbelievers in heaven. our only opportunity to share the truth with someone that's heading for hell and to direct them heading to heaven is here. Let's do it. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear God, I thank you for all you've done for us. I thank you for even when we were stony ground or thorny ground or hard-packed soil, your Spirit worked in our lives to draw us to you. You are working in lives around us. There are many around us that we encounter every day that are hard-packed soil, that are thorny ground soil, that are stony ground soil. Lord, you called us to come and present the truth to them, knowing that not all will immediately accept, but also knowing that you desire that no one perish, but all come to repentance. Let us remember the decision is not up to us, but is up to them. It is only our choice of whether we share the truth or not. Thank you for your love for us as you pray in our situation. In Jesus' name, amen.